open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome and blessings from Grace Emanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast. It is exciting that you've joined us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We offer these broadcasts with the hope that they will help you better understand the Scriptures and more passionately follow the Savior. We're praying that for you as you listen today. If you have specific prayer needs, we'd like to know about them. Please text us at 772-205-6552. Today's message is the ninth in a series titled, How Big is Your God? The struggles that we face personally and as a nation are great. It seems like the enemies of that which is good and decent and rational are winning. We also have our own personal struggles. Our enemy is strong, but we are stronger. We are more than conquerors. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We are sent by Jesus with His authority to a lost world. Do we understand our victory and power? Ask God to speak to your heart and mind as we listen to this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
All right, let's start with the scripture together, shall we? At least the first sentence, and then I'm going to talk deeply from my heart today. Deeply, more deeply than I have maybe in a long, long time or ever. Here's the topic, how big is your God? But let's read together the first verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. My notes left in there. We stop right there. Let's personalize it. Can we do that? I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit. Now you can stop and I'll read. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Everybody should say great big loud. Amen. Yeah, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. We're going to talk about this further on in the message and then on Wednesday night and again in the future. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, verse 12, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by the dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death nature, you will live, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I'm going to depart from there for a while and talk. We'll come back. But I want to try to lay out for you a detailed spiritual strategy for this new year. And this is one of those weeks where I'm driving down the road and I'm yanking off the side of the road and I'm scribbling furiously. And I come back on the road and I'm back off and I'm scribbling furiously. I fill pages. And when I do that, I believe God has something to say. And I want to talk to you personally this morning, maybe more personal than I ever get. I usually go through sermons and I literally wipe out of the sermon personal pronouns on purpose. Not today. Not today. You have in your bulletin four pages, two handouts. You need to pull them out. You need to have them in your hands. One of them is the Living in the Spirit prayer I gave you last week. That's very personal. I'll explain in a little bit, but that's for you now. Two pages of that. The other one is called My War Prayer. Never seen it before. You haven't. And on the other side, My Surrender to God List for 2021. Hang on to those. We'll get through them eventually, and I pray you won't discard them. Don't leave them on your seat. Please take those with you. I promise you it will make a difference in your life. And all four of those stem from my own personal life, my own walk with God last year, all of them. And I've literally taken my own prayers, and God gave me in 2020, these prayers, and then I've kind of expanded them into something I could pass out to you. Took out stuff I didn't want you to know about myself. I honestly believe there's a key here. I honestly believe there is a key to what each of us are going to be facing in the year ahead. There's a key there for you. Take it seriously. I think you need to. And I'm going to be very blunt this morning on several fronts. And I'm going to talk to you like I would talk to you if we were sitting alone with a cup of coffee. But I'm going to do it all at the same time. And I'm going to do it to everybody watching on the stream. I don't think we just entered a business as usual year. We are watching things unfold right now on a daily basis that we have never experienced before. We've seen things this week, the first week of the new year, that are shocking to us. And it all started last year. The wild ride, of course, started last year. We entered January. None of us had a clue that the evil one was getting ready to unleash a carefully planned strategy of death and disease on the entire planet all at once. And we all understand, do we not understand, that the origin of a worldwide life-killing pandemic is not God? We get that, yes? And we are still deep in the throes of that crisis right now, 1 year now after it began. Who would have ever thought a year ago that we would be here right now? The 1819 Spanish flu lasted 2 years. But the killing part of it, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, depending on who you read, the killing part of it all happened in about 3 months. And then it was largely gone. We now have a vaccine after a year or several, but we just don't know. We just don't understand where this is all going to end. But for me personally, and here's where I'm going to go where I never go. For me personally, the challenge started earlier than this pandemic. And for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to give you a personal testimony. Pieces of it I've given you before, but I'm going to try to put it together into one place. My nose shut down in December of 2019. And you say, with a nose that size, how in the world could that ever happen? At least that's what my granddaughter tells me. But it lasted all year. It lasted all year. And as somebody who's had two surgeries already on my nose, I don't function well with no air coming in. And one of you kindly said to me last year, well, just open your mouth. And I thank you for that advice. But if you look around, you'll notice that people don't tend to sit around with their mouth hanging open. We weren't designed that way. Add to that, I'm being very personal, add to that constant lower pain in my back, radiating down my legs constantly all year long. And then in January of last year, intense vertigo set in. 2.5 months, my world swam all the time, every day, all day. And I didn't know when it was ever going to end. And there's more on the list. I'm not going to bore you with the list that went on throughout 2020. Almost all of that seems to have either gone away or is fading away here now that we've entered 2021. And I didn't share it with a lot of people. I did the old fake it till you make it thing, or tried. I'm not sure how successful I was at faking it. But I began to suspect when I landed in the ER in February, with my potassium bottomed out and my heart off, that all that piling on of one harassing thing after another, and it was a pile of them, I begin to suspect it wasn't just the result of living in a fallen, broken human body. I begin to suspect there was spiritual warfare going on. Amen. And that I was under attack. And I admittedly didn't handle it well mentally. I was not handling it well mentally at all. And I told you this part of the story last year, at least some of you. I'm not walking around the lake in tradition, begging God for answers. And I called a dear black pastor friend of mine in Fort Pierce to pray for me. And he prayed. And as he prayed, something began to break loose. He prayed in ways that white pastors just can't seem to pray for whatever reason. He just verbally took Satan on in his prayer. Through the power of Jesus' death and through the resurrection, you can't have this man. You can't have this man's body. He's a servant of the Most High God. And my first response was, he can't do that. And then I said, well, why in the world not? Jesus did it all. When Jesus came in contact with demons, Satan and his minions, he didn't stop. He waded right in every single time. So when we hung up, I began to pray like I've never prayed before. And when I got back to my truck, I began to write furiously, page after page after page. As God, and one thought came and the next thought was piling in. And I wrote lines and lines and lines and pages and pages. And the very next week, we began here a sermon series called What Scares Demons. And I preached stuff that I've never said before, ever, in my whole life. And that all came about right as the first great wave of the pandemic was happening to all of us. All of that now is in book form. It's done. The book is finished. Cass, bless her heart, is doing her magical final proofreading now. The book's called What Scares Demons, 9-chapter book. But out of that all came a very personal war prayer that nobody has seen except my wife. Amazingly, when I sensed Satan turning the machine gun of harassment on in my life, I found that praying this prayer actually pushed back the powers of darkness. And I'm not one to pray canned prayers. I have never advocated anybody else pray canned prayers. But I'm asking you to take this one seriously. If you don't like the way it's written, you can rewrite it to fit your own needs. But let me just give you three passages right off the bat here. 1 John 3:8, when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who's been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to what?
Destroy
the works of the devil. And God's not wringing his hands about how he's going to get that done. Hebrews 2:14, quote it so often, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Very specifically, that is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. That's not vague, is it? Is that vague? One more, Colossians 1:11-14. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all God's glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness. He has transferred you, if you have allowed him, he has transferred you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. That has to be the exact right picture for all of us in this new year. This isn't going to be a year to hide out in fear. This is a year to lift up your shield of faith, pick up the sword of the Spirit, and walk straight into the spiritual battle. You say, Sam, I've never done that before. Okay, but I'm telling you, you're going to need to do it this year. We're not entering into a business as usual year. I sense God saying in these turbulent times, rewrite the prayer, share it with everybody. And I'm going to do that today. You're welcome to download it off the internet and change it as much as you want. But let's stay with this right now, can we? And if you have it, pull it out, look at it, read it. Let's read it together. Can we do that? This is the beginning. You got more stuff coming, but let's try this. Well, this is what I'm going to call strategy number one. I'm going to give you two strategies. This is strategy number one for 2021, where we're going to push back the forces of darkness. We're just going to do it. Here's how you do it. Jesus, I come to you. You can read with me. So thankful for how you've worked out your grace in my life. I'm so thankful for how you used my life in eternal ways in 2020. And I believe in faith you are in the process of using me in even greater ways in 2021. If you don't have a copy, just listen really carefully, please. I'm thankful for the healing power, physical, mental, and spiritual, that you have brought into my body, mind, soul, and spirit through the indwelling Holy Spirit. I am living in and through the power of Jesus, my Savior, brought about through his triumphant death and resurrection. Satan continues to try one avenue after another to convince me that God's grace is not sufficient for me, that I am too weak to resist his advances. But he is lying. He always lies. He can't not lie, even to himself. That's what I discovered this year. He lies to himself. He actually believes his own lies. Number four, Satan, now here's where you actually talk to him. Maybe you've never done this before. Satan, I have been promised by God in James 4:7 that if I submit myself to my heavenly Father, submit yourself to God. If I resist you and push back against the forces of darkness, resist the devil, that you will be forced to flee from me, he will flee from you. So right now, once again, unconditionally, I submit myself to the power, presence, and protection of my almighty sovereign God. I notify you, Satan, to flee from my life and from the lives of all those God has entrusted to me. And that's where you stop and fill in the blanks. Your responsibility, your family, the people that you need to be praying for. I direct that you must flee through the power of Jesus' death on the cross, through my Savior's total defeat of your temporary kingdom of darkness, by his resurrection from the dead. And I've included Colossians 2:15, a quote there. Let's read it. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Seven, last one. I direct through the power of my crucified and risen Savior that the demons that you've assigned to me today be paralyzed in their efforts to attack and harass me and my fill in the blanks. I submit them under the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. I ask that they be paralyzed in their evil attempts and that they be eternally assigned forever to the abyss, to the lake of fire. And I put a quote in there. Remember all the stuff we studied? The demons kept begging Jesus not to order them into the abyss. I have no idea if I have the authority to order a demon into the abyss. But what if I do? Makes you think, doesn't it? What if God wants this coming year to be the most victorious year of your life? What if he wants you to take on a level of spiritual authority as a son or daughter of the Most High God that you have never experienced before? Let me change that to a statement. God wants you this coming year to have the most intense, victorious year of your whole life. Two, God wants you to come to the end of 2021 and say, that was one of the most turbulent years I have ever seen in society around me, but that was the most spiritually powerful year I have ever known in my years of existence. Pastor Sam, you keep talking like you know this year is going to be turbulent. It is. Hear me. It is. I was speaking Thursday evening with a Latino woman who is very influential with the whole Latino community throughout St. Lucie County and beyond. And she told me she had found herself sobbing this week. And she, I don't think, is the sobbing kind. She grew up in Latin America. And she and hundreds of her friends in this entire area migrated here from countries in Latin and South America, countries that have embraced socialism. And she said to me, we watched our countries be completely destroyed in just a few years. There's a reason why tens of thousands of people are gathering together in walking caravans, whole families, and walking 1,000 miles to get from a Latin or South American country to our southern border. She said, our countries have become horrible places. And she brought up Venezuela, which has gone from an oil-rich, wealthy country in about less years than some of you teenagers in this room have been alive. From an oil-rich, wealthy country to a place where children are digging through dumps looking for food scraps. And that's not some made-up picture. That's a current picture. You can find them all over the web. Nobody's making this stuff up. And she, with tears in her eyes, said to me, we're watching this country follow the same exact path with leaders spouting the same exact sentences that we heard while our countries were being destroyed. And our hearts are breaking for what we see coming to our beloved adopted country, the United States of America. And she said, the amazing thing to us is that so many people seem so oblivious to the reality as they move down the exact same path that we saw as our freedoms disintegrated in front of our eyes.
We want to take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We are listening to the 9th message from a series titled, How Big is Your God? Our nation is forsaking the God whose grace and truth was her foundation. When the foundation is undermined, the structure can't stand as it was intended. That should cause us grief. But we as believers are here at this point in history to accomplish great things for our great God. We are equipped and empowered to be salt and light in this increasingly dark and rotting world. There is victory. If you would like to reach out to us during the broadcast or you'd like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send a message through our website to graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send comments, questions, and prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Here's where we are. Let me give you 2 illustrations, and this part of the sermon isn't going to be fun. We'll get back to a better part. But this isn't going to be a joyous part of the sermon. This is where we are. I'm going to use 2 illustrations right now. One of which I gave you 2 months ago, but it's more potent now than it was then. The first issue that we as a nation are facing, big one, is the issue of life in the womb. One of the presidential candidates openly campaigned, right from his own mouth, on codifying Roe versus Wade. Instead of abortion being lawful, just because of a, in my opinion, bad decision of the Supreme Court back in 1973. They used the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was passed in 1868 to free slaves, to give slaves citizenship. And now we're going to take the 14th Amendment, which brought freedom to slaves, and we're going to give women the right to privacy. And in that, we're going to take away the right of every single baby in the womb ever. But here's the problem. Codify. What's that mean? That means we move it from a court decision to a decision where the House of Representatives votes on it and passes it. And then the Senate votes on it and passes it. And then it's signed into law by the President of the United States. At that point, abortion becomes a legal human right. And groups like CareNet, of which several are represented in this room today, when they seek to preserve life in the womb going forward, if that happens, and I suspect it will, those people at CareNet will be not just infringing on the human rights of another person, they will very possibly be breaking the law as they seek to save the life of an innocent unborn child. You see how increasing the rights of one person tends to take the rights of somebody else away? Without question, we are going to see these kind of things come to the floor of the House and come to the floor of the Senate in the days ahead. They are already part of a presented written list of legislative priorities. Issue number two, and I'm only bringing these two up. I could bring up 50 issues, and I'm going to talk about why this matters. But issue number two is the issue of gay marriage. The law of the land for 239 years in America was the defining of marriage as the union of one man and one woman. 31 states had separate amendments to their constitution banning any other type of marriage than marriage between one man and one woman. But in one day, June 26, 2050, in one day, five people in black robes, five unelected people in black robes changed the laws for everybody just like that. And we were stunned. That was just 5 years ago. We were stunned. We as a church had to rewrite our entire constitution to protect ourselves from lawsuits. Pastor Christopher Wise and I wrote this booklet that you used to have available. I believe there's some back out there now. Penny's made them available. Defining what the Bible actually says about marriage and what the Bible actually says about homosexuality. Because people said, we don't know. Particularly the young people. We don't know what the Bible says. Bakers and florists who said it's against my religious conviction to provide services for a gay wedding were instantly sued. Hundreds of thousands of dollars later, their business is gone. But watch this closely. If that issue now comes to the floor of the House and then the Senate and then is passed into law by the president, gay marriage will become not a decision of the Supreme Court. It will become a legal human right. And if you have gay family members, which many of you do, you may be saying, yay, let everybody live out their life in freedom. The problem is that's not the way human rights work. Those who oppose gay marriage will be deemed to be guilty at least of infringing on the civil rights, the legal civil rights of somebody else. But very possibly breaking the law. Do you realize the implications that has for this church and for churches all across the United States of America? If a gay couple arrives at this church, and perhaps that has already happened, but if they arrive at this church and ask me to officiate their wedding, my answer will be no, based on my understanding of the inspired written word of God. And my actions could be deemed, at the very least, a civil rights issue, at the very most, a criminal matter. Do we understand how our system of laws work? It's the best system, perhaps, in the world. But here's the reality. When somebody gains new rights, somebody else often gives their rights up to give the people. It's as simple as if you drive out of here and you drive to US 1 and you decide you're going to make your way on across US 1 and turn right in the northbound lane. You're not supposed to do that. Because everybody coming north in those three lanes of the northbound lane doesn't want to die. So your rights are hindered. You're made to turn right in the southbound lane because their rights keep you from having any right you jolly well please to have. Sue and I were in Tallahassee when the bathroom laws were being argued. And I was in a room with a lot of transvestites who were arguing for their right to go into any bathroom that they chose to go into. And many of them were coming up to the microphone, large, often heavily muscled people in dresses and high heels. And they were presenting their case. And John Stemberger, a Christian lawyer, he's been here, he'll undoubtedly be here in the future, did not in any way demean them, but he simply asked them, "Do you understand that when you go into a women's restroom, looking like you do, the 13-year-old girl who walks in beside you is scared out of her mind? Do you understand that giving you new rights means taking her rights away?" And they did not. They did not. I'm not trying to throw cold water all over your life for this coming year, but I have been called by God to proclaim divine truth. Listen to me. These coming years are going to be difficult for Bible-believing Christians. I can say without a shred of doubt that there are changes coming to our nation that will run 180 degrees opposite of our biblical Christian belief system. And obviously, you're free to disagree. But I suspect that you will come back in a few years and say that egg-shaped head guy actually was right in what he had to say. Please hear me when I say this. A nation that was founded in direct alignment with the Word of God, and we were, a nation whose entire law code was at one time built around the truths of God's Word. There's your first president. It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. When a nation that was founded in direct alignment with the Word of God begins to reset its laws in direct opposition to the Word of God, that nation is in deep trouble. I was with a group of community pastors this week on Friday morning, all of whom have 25 to 45 years of experience here on the Treasure Coast. And we were discussing this very topic. And there's not a single one of them who disagrees with what I'm saying. In fact, they're probably saying it a lot stronger today than I am. Let me give you one more strong point. I want to declare to you one more strong point. And then I want to get on to strategy number two, and I'll refer back to that group and what they decided here in a minute. When, or if, maybe when, we codify the two things I used as examples in the coming years, if we write into law the human right to abort a baby, and if we write into law the human right to marry another person of the same sex, if we make those the laws of our land, I believe we will have entered into a new phase in our national relationship to the Almighty. God has blessed this nation more than any nation on the earth, specifically because we had Him as our very foundation. If the foundation crumbles, you do the math. And let's just say for the sake of argument, Sam, that you're not a complete loon here today. And you that have known me for 30 years know that I don't say this kind of stuff. At least I didn't used to. So either I've gone completely nuts, or perhaps what I'm saying needs listening to. If I'm not a complete loon, and we really are going to see rapid changes in our nation that take us further and further from our Christian foundations, what will we do? What are we going to do? You said earlier, Sam, that this year should become the most intensely victorious year of my whole life. That even if things get more turbulent, that this could be the most spiritually powerful year I have ever known. Exactly. Exactly. But I do think we're going to have to get very, very serious about that very thing. That's going to have to become a priority to us. In our pastor's meeting Friday, several came up with a few suggestions about how we could impact our community in the year ahead by doing nice things for other people. And as I sat there, I was getting more and more restless, and I saw several other pastors I know well getting more and more restless. And then finally, we kind of exploded the table. And we said, those things might have been solutions 5 years ago. But we're moving into very different times now as a nation. Satan is truly pulling out all the stops in his effort to crush the people of God. If you don't know that's true, you're looking in the wrong direction. The Bible says that that will be true as we approach the end of times. I believe. If Satan is pulling out all the stops now, what does that tell you about what he believes about where we are in the prophetic lineup? Satan hates God with a passion. But he very decidedly believes in God's ability to hit the bullseye on every single prophecy, because God's been doing it for 6,000 years. Hadn't missed one yet. Satan has to know as we move forward that God's not going to miss any. Now, I wrote in the book Unmasking Revelation that I believe, at least in my opinion, put that in there a lot, as we approach the end of times, the line between what is of God and what is of Satan is going to get bolder and starker, and it already is. There have been many, many people who claim to be followers of God, but give absolutely zero effort to following God's principles. I think, honestly, that time is coming to an end. I really do. Back wall, part-time Christian, can't defeat a full-time devil. We simply can't be part-time Christians and expect to be able to push back forces of darkness. We're not going to be able to. So that brings up strategy number two. Remember, strategy number one is that we're going to have to be very serious about pushing back against the powers of darkness in our lives, in our families' lives, in our community's life, in our nation. But we're not going to do that politically now. We don't have another election for the next 2 years. You're not going to vote anybody in who's going to fix your nation if you think there's something wrong with it. If we really want to push back against the powers of darkness, we're going to need to start deep inside of our own souls. We need to ignite a spiritual fire that burns inside of us and then up from inside of us, outside of us, and then all of us together in this church eventually exploding out into the world around us. The quote on the back wall, if we want revival in our homes, our churches, our cities, our nation, our world, it must begin with us. It must begin in you, and it must begin in me. And it puts Acts 3:19 on that, repenting of our sins, turning to God. You know what that group of pastors did on Friday morning when we finally caught on to where we all were? We immediately, within 2 hours, rented the Ruby Room at the Civic Center. March the 5th. And we're calling Christians from all over this area to come there and get on their face before God and pray. And we're going to do it over and over. The money doesn't matter. We have people coming up. We had a Jewish man come up to us this last week and say, here's $5,000. Just whatever you're doing, keep doing it. God's doing something. He's doing something. He wants to do something. This is not a downtime. Never, it was intended by God to be a downtime for us. It's a time when God wants to do things in you he's never done before. He wants to create a new you that's just full of spiritual power. And he wants to do it this year. 2021, I was reminded again of the early church. They didn't ever get to vote on their governmental leaders. Their Roman leaders were a bunch of human sacrificing perverts. Their national situation was as bad as anything that we can ever imagine our nation ever becoming. We've talked about that a lot. My wife reminded me this week that the Christians were constantly lied about in the Roman Empire. Mad Emperor Nero burnt the city of Rome, a quarter of it, nasty quarter. He burned it, he lit it on fire, and then blamed the Christians. And then started putting the Christians into lions' circus, feeding them to lions, lighting them as torches along the main street, the Appian Way, for something that they didn't even do. But there was a fire of the indwelling Holy Spirit burning inside of them. And it constantly and increasingly radiated out of their lives into the lives of the pagans around them, until finally the pagans began to come to Jesus too. Without casting a single vote, they turned the entire world upside down. That has to be what God's looking for in all of us right now, this year. Full-time, sold out to Jesus Christians, to whom following Jesus and being transformed into his character is the most important thing in our lives. And God kindling that spiritual fire inside of us isn't something he's left to chance. It develops right out of the verses that we started this whole message with. Romans 8, and I'm jumping back to verse 2. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed me from the power of sin that leads to death. I'm not controlled by my sinful nature. I'm controlled by the Spirit, since I have the Spirit of God living in me. I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to do. If I live by its dictates, I will die. But if through the power of the Spirit inside, I put to death the deeds of my sinful nature, I will live. This power theme, power, it's a huge one. We're going to spend more time on it. This power theme is massive when the subject matter is the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's supposed to be igniting something inside. We're supposed to be ignited on the... What if this year, God were to take your life from moderate Christian to raging fire of the indwelling Holy Spirit Christian? What if? Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love for you is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's it. The light shines brighter when the darkness around increases. That's supposed to be you and me, right there, this year. The Holy Spirit's power works on two fronts. One is to fill us with God's power to flow through us. For the life we're being called to live, that's undeniable in the pages of Scripture. God wants to pour himself not only in, but out through us. Number two, the other front is the Holy Spirit within working on our unrighteousness, or the unrighteous us on the inside, cleansing out the things that keep us from being as conduit of the Spirit, so that more of his power can continue to pour out through us. The picture on the back wall. Don't look at the house. The house isn't the point. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. God has bought you, redeemed you with a high price. So you must glorify God in your body. There's just something about this picture. What I get out of this picture is just out of every tiny edifice in that house is pouring light. It's just pouring out everywhere you can see. When you look at the house, you don't actually see the house. You just see the light pouring out. That's what we're supposed to be, where the light is just streaming out of us, and people around us see that. Well, let me show you this from Romans. We've looked at this a lot of times. The Spirit living within you will give life to your soma. We often use that last scripture to tell people why they shouldn't take drugs. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But think about it. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He was given to you by God. Amazing. Spirit living within you will give life to your soma, or your theta soma, your theta somata, to your living being, your mortal being, everything about you. he wants to give life to. And the issue is not the lack of available power on God's part. The issue is not the lack of God's willingness to pour into and out through me. The problem is that mortal body thing that we all struggle. Let me put these two pictures up there at the same time. The picture of the house where all the light is streaming out, and the dark house that's absolutely junked up on the inside, and there's no room for anything else. That's our problem. And that's a problem God doesn't beat us up over. He just says, let me clean out the house, man. Let me clean it out. Let me clean it. I will fill you, Ephesians 5:18. Be being, present participle, be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. But he doesn't fill what's all junked up. And that's the purpose of the two other handouts that you have. The prayer, the Holy Spirit prayer, that two pages, I'm asking you to try. Some of you are praying that prayer and you're saying, man, oh man, this is life-changing. Because it's just 27 quotes of what God says he wants to do inside of you. And it has to do with asking him to remove the junk, asking him to fill into and then out of you. We need to ask him for that. We don't just assume it's going to happen. We ask him. But the second sheet is brand spanking new, and it's called My Surrender to God List for 2021. The last 2 minutes, I just want to read the 5 points. Open it up. You have to fill this out. I can't fill it out for you. Romans 8:2 assures me that the power of the life-giving Spirit is freeing me from the power of sin that leads to death. I pray for the freeing from the power of sin by the indwelling Holy Spirit's presence in these areas of my life. What are they? Only you know. This is something you do alone with God. And a pen. And date the page, by the way. Put the date on there, the 10th of January. Question 2, Romans 8, 5, 9 instructs me to be submitted to and controlled by the presence of the Holy Spirit within me. God, I willingly submit these areas of my life in this new year. And I put the words out of control with a question mark in. Some of us have out of control areas, yes? I submit them to you, God, for your transformation this year. Number 3, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. God, I humbly submit that the following areas in my life come under your loving, grace-filled control, your guidance, your leadership, and that I will begin to reflect the character of Jesus in these areas rather than a reflection of my fallen, sinful nature. Write them down. Write them down. Number 4, dear God, let me be being continually filled with your promised Spirit. Present participle, it's an ongoing action. I ask you to fill the sails of my soul. I've explained to you how I came to that conclusion. Not filling a barrel, filling the sails, propelling. Fill the sails of my soul and propel me forward with the purposeful, transforming, reshaping power and guidance of your Holy Spirit. I realize that you can't, won't, don't fill the sails of my soul with the wind. And that's not too far off. That's the Hebrew word ruach. It literally means wind, breath, the wind of the Spirit. With the wind of your Spirit, if my sails are purposely turned away from you, asking you to fill me with your Spirit in this new year certainly has to mean emptying out those ungodly things that grieve you. I commit myself not to bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way I live. Ephesians 4:30. And the areas I realize that are stifling the flow of your Holy Spirit in and through my life are, tell him. You're not hiding anything from God. You might want to hide this from your husband. Don't hide it from God. He already knows this stuff. And what he's waiting for you is you to say, okay, God, now I know it too. Now I'm willing to say, this is me. This is all the junk. This is my year to be a totally different person. Totally different person. Number 5. Spirit of God, I ask that you increasingly tune my spiritual ears to your voice as you guide me into all truth. Oh God, I so need to hear and understand what your instructions are in these specific areas of my life this year? I need answers, God. I need answers to these questions. Remember, he said the Spirit would lead you into all truth. His promise, not mine. Are you willing to do this? You willing to be really serious with God? You're going to need it this year. I promise you, you are. But this is the time to set our course and say, I'm in with every fiber of my being. I'm in. God, you know us in the room. And you want nothing but for us to maximize the reason that you put us on this planet. You have us here for a reason. This isn't our down year. This is our up year. This is when you're going to make a difference, not only in us, but through us. And so today, we just open our arms, we open our hands, and we say, God, whatever you want to do inside of me, I'm there, I'm in, I'm for it, I'm all in, I'm completely in for whatever you're going to do in my life this year. And here's the list, God. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll let you talk to me, I'll write it down. And then I'll bring it out throughout the year and I'll lay it before you and say, God, where are we? Where are we in you changing me into a whole new person? Oh God, let it be so in my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. The mighty Roman Empire, pagan at its core, became Christian within 300 years. It was not because Christians voted or protested. It was because those believers got a hold of all that was theirs as children of God. Please join us for more discussion about this. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
I'm so utterly convinced that the Holy Spirit wants to do an amazing work in our lives. But here's the key, and Pastor Sam touched on this. We must, as his children, children of the light, we must be receptive to all God wants to do. The Holy Spirit is actively compelling us, actively nudging us, actively empowering us. But are we listening to God, or are we listening to the lies of the enemy? Because here is the truth, dear friends. God wants to do according to his word, and his word is true and will never return void. God wants to do immeasurably more than we could ever dream, think up, or even imagine. But it takes surrender, a daily surrender, a daily dying to self. As Pastor Sam said, this is not business as usual. So we must take on not physical carnal weapons, but spiritual weapons, wielding the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, being on the offense and watching God do what only he can do in our midst.
I want to build it a little bit on what Pastor Mitchell said and focus just on James 4:7, where it says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. That word submit does mean that we need to acknowledge that God is God, that Jesus is our Lord, but it means more than that. If you're submitting, you're taking your place in rank. That means you're stepping up under your commanding officer and you are behaving, acting, and living the way your commander has equipped, empowered, and ordered you to be. So when we submit to God, we are acknowledging, God, I'm powerful in Christ. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. You've made me more than a conqueror. I am equipped in the body of Christ for victory, and I'm going to live that way. That's the full meaning of submitting to God. And check this out. When we do that, it says the devil will flee from us. That is a middle voice verb. That literally means that he will pick himself up and remove himself from a place that he sees as dangerous. Do you see yourself as dangerous to him? You are. If we are not living this way, it is because of one of two things. Either we have believed the lies that the devil and the world have told us about who we are in Jesus, or we are choosing to compromise. Both are not submitting to God. Both rob us of victory. We're victorious warriors in Christ. Let's live that way.
I really do want to encourage us today
that this is a fact. God wants this coming year to be the most intensely victorious year of your whole life. And it may be a turbulent year. I tend to believe it's going to be. But allow it to become the most spiritually powerful year that you have ever known. And I want to say this. You are here for this exact moment in time. God put you here on this planet right now. And remember, he saw you here right now before he even formed the world. He saw you. He saw your gifts, and he believed. And he wants, with every bit of passion in his heart, for you to become this year the person he designed you to be. But it does mean surrender. It does mean me giving up to God all my self-sovereignty and letting his sovereignty rule completely in my life. I promise you, what he's going to do in you and through you will make you so fulfilled. You will love the year, even though what's going on around you may seem very, very difficult. But let's just surrender. Oh, God, you know all of us, including me, and how desperately we need to just let you clean the junk out of our lives. And so today, we just give it to you. We take our hands off for you to clean us and cleanse us and reshape us and remake us into the very person you designed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. If you're listening and you're uncertain that you have the relationship with Jesus that you need, we want to help you. Please text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We want to invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, just west of US 1. If you would like to learn more about us and the opportunities here for your family, we encourage you to visit our website for more details. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May your sovereign and mighty God show you his victory this week. Please visit with us soon. It is our joy to bring you these messages each week. We trust that God is using them for his glory and your blessing. There is an expense for these broadcasts. We do want to offer you the opportunity to partner with us and expand this ministry. If you would choose to do so, we would like to send you something to say thank you. Our pastor, Sam Chess, has written a newly released book, Unmasking Revelation. The book removes the fear and confusion we have about the final book of the Bible. It helps us to see the truth that there is great joy and hope in it because Jesus gloriously wins and Satan miserably loses. We want to offer you a copy of this book for a donation of $15 or more. Simply go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Giving tab. Drop down to Request Unmasking Revelation Book. Follow the directions. We thank you for your partnership.